So good to be here. So good to see so many very close friends and some new friends that I just met this morning. We have several people from out of town. We want y'all to know San Antonio is the best city in the world to live in. We'll find you a realtor, and you just move on down and become part of our church. I drove to Austin and back yesterday. How many of you just love that trip on Interstate 35? Could I see your hands? And people were, you know, I was going the maximum speed that's allowable, and some places at 75, and people were whizzing by me. So I thought about hymn titles that are appropriate for people who speed. Okay, so if you go, you know, pretty common speed, 40 miles an hour, the best hymn is God Will Take Care of You. If you go 50 miles an hour, it's Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. If you go 60 miles an hour, it's Nearer, My God, to Thee. 70 miles an hour, Nearer, Still Nearer. 80 miles an hour, This World Is Not My Home. 90 miles an hour, Lord, I'm Coming Home. 100 miles an hour, Precious Memories. Well, it's Palm Sunday, you all know that. The triumphal entry of Christ. The people were welcoming Him. We know the rest of the story. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that about a week later He would be murdered on a Roman cross in great torture. But He knew. He knew what was coming. And He set His mind to do it. And, you know, by going through it next week, John will be preaching on the resurrection. You know, everything gets worked out for us on our behalf through the resurrection of Jesus. But in the meantime, you know, I think that week leading up to the resurrection is kind of a symbol for us of what's happened in the world since Jesus' resurrection. Because, you know, stop and think, that was a really glorious moment when the people were welcoming Him, but the week was a terrible, terrible week. And it's been about 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus, and a lot of bad stuff has happened in the world. And we thought everything was going to be okay, right, when He rose from the dead. Well, what happens is, in these 2,000 years, in this time, the effects of the death and resurrection of Jesus have already started, even though this world is a messed up place. And that, because the world is so messed up, we kind of doubt it. Well, Jesus, if You rose from the dead, why are things still such a mess? But Jesus prepared us for this, these 2,000 years, waiting for His return with a great mission to bring the good news to all the world. And a key passage that shows that redemption has already started in spite of the difficulties in the world is Matthew 11, 27 through 30. And this is what these verses say. If you'd like to look this up in your phone or in your Bible, feel free to do that, but it's all going to be on the screen. All things have been committed to Me by My Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to Me. I love this. I love this. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Now, at the time Jesus said this, it sounded audacious. This is long before His death and resurrection. All good news, all good Jews knew that only God can give us rest. It was in their scriptures. And one place where it says that is Psalm 62:1. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. So when Jesus said that, the good Jews were like, what? No, only God can give rest. But you see, Jesus was claiming to be God. This is one of His strongest claims of being God. When He says to us, come to Me, the whole world of weary and burdened people, and I, this man standing before them who has not yet died and been raised from the dead, he's saying, I will give you rest. What an amazing thing for a person to say. Now, after the resurrection, it began to make sense, didn't it? And it makes sense for us today. Well, let's go through the passage and see what it's saying. Verse 27 again, let me read it again. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. See, it's the revelation of God. It's the revelation of God through Jesus that is the secret to the rest that Jesus promises. It requires the revelation of God to those whom Jesus chooses to reveal His Father to him. And so in verse 28, He says, come to Me. And literally in very good Greek, which is a translation of Jesus was speaking in Aramaic, which is a form of Hebrew, what it really says is, come here to Me. Come here to Me. It's more like a father knowing that his little child needs comfort, saying, come here, come here, come here. It's not come, it's come here. It's a very personal word for come. But for whom is the invitation? Because He just said, this is for those whom I choose. And I once believed, falsely I think, that God kind of chooses who He wants to be saved and the others He just lets go to hell or something like that. And I'm sorry now that I once believed that. I no longer believe that at all. In fact, I believe what I'm about to tell you, which is, yes, it is His choice. Who does He choose? He chooses everyone who's weary and burdened. That's you and me, right? If you're in this room today and you're a normal human being, you have burdens. You have things that worry you. You have things that distress you. Some of you are very, very ill. Some of you don't have enough money. Some of you are looking for a new job. Some of you are in bad relationships. Some of you are dealing with broken hearts for various reasons. Every human being, including Bill Gates, whoever you want to name, they have burdens. So the invitation, so Jesus thought it over. Who shall I invite? Who shall I invite? I know everyone who needs help. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Do you need help? How many of you need help? I'm raising both hands. I can only raise 1 foot at a time though. Okay. So, the only ones excluded from this call are the proud and arrogant who refuse to acknowledge their need of God's help. And they are included in the invitation at the very moment that they say, help me, God. Hallelujah, I love it. I love it. Weary and burdened. Some are weary and burdened with the religious yoke, a false religion, of trying to be good enough to earn God's favor. Some are weary with the mental weariness. Some are weary with physical weariness. Some are weary with a spiritual weariness where they're not enjoying faith. They're not enjoying grace. Some are weary of their own sins and failures. Many years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was a time of distress for me where I was very disappointed in myself. And I went into my living room and sat there and I began to feel the Lord bring this scripture to my mind. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And He just made it so real to me that what was going on, I was getting weary of my sins. So that's included, see? That's a burden. Your sins are a burden that you can give to Jesus, your failures, your weaknesses. Weary of the troubles of the world. Weary of people shooting up high schools. Weary of the threat of nuclear weapons. And weary of all the junk that's going on. Weary of fears of what might happen. Every kind of weariness. Every kind of burden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. What a claim. What a claim. Looked like a human being standing before Him. He was a human being. He was 100% human and 100% God, but he was living out of his humanity. And here stands this man before them and says, I will give you rest. He's still saying that, and he's still doing that. So let me just tell you about John McCain. You know who that is, a senator from Arizona. He was a prisoner of war for more than 5 years in Vietnam. Tortured, horribly, horribly tortured from the day his plane crashed. He had broken bones from his plane crash, and the soldiers that found him broke some more of his bones. It was terrible. Talk about weariness, talk about burden, talk about pain and despair. But John was coming to Jesus for help. He was coming to the one who said, come to me and I will give you rest. There was one other occasion during my imprisonment, he says, that moved me greatly as evidence of God's transcending love, and I can say of the invitation to come and rest. During the time I was held in solitary, I was caught communicating with my dear friend in the cell next to me. For my transgression, I was kept overnight in a punishment cell tied with very tight ropes. On this particular night, as I sat on the stool cursing my bad luck and straining against the painfully tightened ropes, the door suddenly opened. And a young gun guard I had occasionally seen wandering around the camp entered the room. He motioned to me to remain silent by placing his finger to his lips. And then, without smiling or even looking me in the eyes, he proceeded to loosen the ropes that bound me. His kind action completed, he left without uttering a word to me. As dawn approached, he returned to tighten the ropes before he finished his watch and another guard could discover what he had done. In the months that followed, I occasionally saw my good Samaritan when I was moved from one part of the prison to another. He never allowed himself a glance in my direction, much less spoke to me, until one Christmas morning when I was briefly allowed out of my cell to stand alone in the outdoors and look up at the clear blue sky. As I was looking at the heavens, I became aware of him as he walked near me and then for a moment stood very close to me. He did not speak or smile or look at me. He just stared at the ground in front of us, and then very casually he used his foot to draw a cross in the dirt. You see, here was a prisoner in Vietnam who had found rest in Jesus, and God used him to bring rest to John McCain. John McCain found rest in a situation that probably no one here has ever had to endure. If Jesus could do this for John McCain, I just want you to think of yourself. Think of that man's situation. If Jesus could do that for John McCain in that situation, surely he can give you the rest you need. Does that encourage you? Does that make you feel a little better? But what's the catch? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Oh, I knew there was a catch. Hold on here. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, the yoke was the teaching of a rabbi. That was a common expression they had for that. But this rabbi, our rabbi Jesus, has promised just by coming, he will give you rest and the invitation to be his disciple, because he goes on to say, learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. There will be things to do. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it's not just come to me and rest, now take a long nap for the rest of your life, and I'll wake you up at the end of time. It's not like that. It's not that kind of rest. It's a meaningful rest. It's a productive rest. It's a creative rest. It's a come join my revolution rest. To grow to be like Jesus, to learn to share His love and help others and this poor world. And then he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, have you ever seen the picture of Jesus knocking on the door with a lamp in his hand and he looks like a woman with a beard? Have you ever seen that one? You just think, what a poor, weak Jesus that is. You know, he's got this kind of sad look on his face, like, please open the door. I'm cold out here, you know. No. I've said this in another sermon here, I think. He's more like the big bad wolf knocking on that door. I'm going to huff and puff and blow the door in, you know. Gentle is, in the old King James Version, it says meek. Meekness, the proper interpretation of this word is the kind of strength under control, like a huge horse that's been trained to do its work. Jesus has all of His strength, but it's under control. It's not just blowing up like atom bombs. It's progressive. It's moving somewhere. He's meek and He's humble. He's here to serve. So taking His yoke upon us means we learn that meekness and we learn that servant's heart. Isn't that wonderful? That's His yoke. And then the character of our rabbi, His gentleness and meekness. And then He says, and you will find rest. And in your translation, probably every translation in the room, it says, for your soul, which for American audiences is just the wrong word. What do you think of when you hear soul? You think of, okay, when I die, there's this ghostly part of me that's kind of like a little bit of a cloud that's going to kind of float up to be with Jesus. And by the way, that's for John on the resurrection. That's a different, it's not like that anyway. But no, it's not your soul. It's not your this oozy, fluffy part of you. It's the word is actually the word we get our word psyche from. But for the Greeks and for the people who wrote the New Testament, it means your whole life essence, who you are as a person. It's who you are. It's yourself. You will find rest for who you really are. You'll find rest for who God created you to be. And it's this creative rest that takes the burdens and takes the sins and takes the worry and the anxiety and the pain and leaves you with the ability to be the disciple of Jesus, to learn from Him, to follow Him, and to emulate Him, and to do the good in the world that He set you free to do, to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. That's what the yoke of Jesus is. And then He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Any of you heard the Handel's Messiah? Do you remember the part of that? For my yoke is easy. You want to really hear me go into it? My profound basso? No, you don't. You don't. If we think of a yoke as for a team of oxen, and we are yoked with Jesus, there is indeed a heavy load to pull. There's a lot of work to do. But guess what? If you're yoked with Jesus, your feet don't even touch the ground. You just, what adventure are we on today? I love it. The alternative is unthinkable. Bob Dylan, you younger people may not know who that is, but everybody, oh, they do, okay. He had a time of a profound faith experience many years ago, back in the 70s, and he wrote a song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Let me tell you, you either come to Jesus and you let Him give you rest and you take up His yoke, or you go to the one the Bible calls the thief, the serpent, the wolf, the murderer, the liar. I like to think of him as the pimp, the enemy of God and our enemy. Who is a pimp? A pimp is somebody who gets someone and sends them into prostitution, but they trick them at the beginning to making them think they're their friend. That's the way the enemy of God works in the world and the way he wants to work in your life. Don't be deceived by him. See, even if you think you're working for yourself, even if you think you're making your own choices, in the end, the mask will be pulled off and you'll see who's behind that, and it's that old, horrible pimp, the murderer. Jesus said he's the murderer from the beginning. He's a thief. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give you life and to give you abundant life. So I want to invite you today to do four things. I know on there you're going to see five, but we're not going to do the last one, okay? Come to Jesus. Risk everything. Take Him at His word and see what happens. If you have not been somebody who's been following Jesus, who's been carrying the yoke of Jesus, you've not been resting in Jesus, come and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to find out today. Is it true? Is it real? come to Him and ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to give you this rest and say, Lord, I'm ready to take your yoke upon me, and see what happens. Secondly, maybe you're weary again. You're somebody, you've already done this and you remember what it was like to have the load lifted, to be set free, but lately you've been assuming burdens that you don't need to assume. You're worried, you're anxious, you're cast down, and your life is not happy. Well, that's not what Jesus wants. Come back to Him and say, Jesus, I give it all to You, and He will give you rest for everything you are, for all that you are. And then all of you, take up His yoke and learn from Jesus. Let Him teach you. This is not religion. This is life. This is reality. And finally, what an opportunity we have for Easter Sunday. Invite others to enter His rest. Invite others to enter His rest. Let them know what you have found by coming to Jesus and invite them in.